Welcome to the Oldie Literary Lunch, sponsored by Noble Caledonia, the world experts in small ship cruising.
I'd just like to ask them to start with the obvious question, Charles and Mary. How did it come about? You know, how did this wonderful creation happen?
We thought we'd stay seated to replicate our television persona. The publisher, Lorna Russell of Virgin, said she wanted us to do a book, and she suggested we wrote 2,500 words per month each, and she chased us at the end of each month, and then we handed it in, and she formed it into a coherent whole.
Coherent?
That's right.
Giles obviously has never been coherent in his life before.
I've got into the, they've got this new thing on the interweb thing, where if you send an email, you can send a return thing saying, interesting, okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
A thing ready-made.
Yeah, ready-made email, which is saving me hours of time.
Yes. Right. Okay. There may even be people here who don't know what Gogglebox is. I'm thinking the unthinkable here, but... Does that include you?
I think a lot of people have.
What I'd like to say is, and this is another question, is would you describe your own version of your diaries as a kind of Gogglebox in itself, with you as the programme and the diary itself as the viewers and all the people who read it? Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, the thing about writing a diary is it gives you incredible insight into yourself. So it's really therapeutic, actually, even if you're just doing it because a publisher demanded it. It's a really useful tool for self-analysis and realizing that people aren't as bad as you thought they were, because once you sort of examine the pattern that's emerging, you realize you're annoying yourself.
I couldn't understand a word of that. But if I might say that Gogglebox has given us a unique opportunity which most marriages don't have, which is to make our marriage pay. That's a great incentive. In the Daily Mail today, there's a lot of stuff about how the fact that the Tory government aren't supporting marriage in the way that they should be. So I hope that we are doing our bit. Over to you, Mary.
Because we do think it's better to remain married, if possible.
If possible.
Much less admin.
The other thing about, I'm not a smug married person, it's very difficult to stay married, but I feel that for the reasons that are not often mentioned, which is habitat destruction, which is close to my mind, which is that all these divorced people have to have separate houses, which means building on land that could be used for biodiversity.
Well said, well said. Anyway, if you've read the book, and I hope you all will, it's set in their little tiny hamlet, largely, and I'm just wondering, Giles and Mary, how it's gone down with the neighbours, because quite a few of them are in it, sometimes very thinly indeed disguised. You're quite kind to some of them, including the Thatcher who has Hollywood film star looks, but there are others. As when you attended a recording of Gardner's Question Time in the Bouverie Hall in Pusey. Giles says, I was sitting next to my betters of a superior rank, the Sandersons, when I asked the panel the bombshell question. My neighbours have built a hideous eyesore extension. Can you suggest a quick-growing evergreen climber that will help to camouflage it? I hope your neighbours aren't listening, said one panel member. They're sitting next to me, he said. So how did it go down with the neighbours is the big question.
That was the beginning of my broadcasting career, and foot-in-mouth disease, which is a well-known country illness that we all suffer from. But we've actually got a straw dog situation in our village at the moment, so if anyone has been unfortunate enough to see that film, it was based on a book called The Siege of Trenchard Farm. I don't know if anyone's seen the film. But Mary does her best to iron out problems in the village.
I think in Giles's mind he imagines the whole village is against him. But when I go through cottage by cottage, rectory, big house, etc., only two people are against
him. But you've diagnosed it as a new medical complaint.
Apparently it's part of narcissistic personality disorder, where you imagine that people are parking in a certain place just to annoy you.
I do spend a lot of time watching an agricultural worker who seems to be spraying all the nettles in the village, much to the detriment of the butterflies, the red admiral butterfly and the comma butterfly.
But also the cow parsley and the campion and stuff.
Yes, no, I've had words with them.
Okay. Right, now I'd like to raise a rather delicate issue with you. It's communication. Now, Mary, you don't drive, and you've chosen to live in at the end of a rural, impenetrable cul-de-sac, three villages away from the nearest shop at least, miles from anywhere. Giles believes that the male of the species is doomed because of all the oestrogen from the pill and HRTs in the drinking water. He refuses to indulge in an iPad, but Mary has forced him to have a mobile phone, which he keeps on the dashboard of his car with the window open in the clear hope that someone will nick it. Can it be, this is the question, as a couple, you represent a new phrase in the evolutionary process, the survival of the unfittest.
Well, I think we have a few things in common, but...
we're both middle class.
Yeah. With from medical backgrounds.
And that's unusual in Britain today.
But the thing is that I did used to, unfortunately all this started when in 1994 I was required by the Telegraph to write a column called Family Life. And the reason that they wanted us to do it was because I'd written one piece about Charles being annoying, and they commissioned me, they said, on condition you write about him every week. So then I had to write 52 times a year about him being annoying. Actually, he ghost wrote most of it, but it set in motion a sort of
A dynamic.
Yeah, which is very unhealthy, that women are attacking men all throughout the media, and they're allowed to, but you're not allowed to do it the other way around. So it's not as bad as it seems.
Part of the crisis in masculinity.
I think that men are very unfairly victimized these days. It's getting worse. In fact, there should be hashtag SheToo, where men can write in to complain how awful their wives have been and be allowed to express it.
But on a lighter note, Mary, I'll just tell a very short anecdote about when I was the only game of golf I ever played, which was in Nairobi, as we're in a golf club setting, where I hit the ball. It's just part of a theme, strange things happen to me. And I hit the ball very, very, with a driver, and it hit the lady's tee, and the ball bounced back onto the clubhouse, the Nairobi clubhouse roof, and went down onto the gutters and down the downpipe, and I was able to retrieve it very neatly in the base of the downpipe, and I don't think anyone else has ever achieved that. So I'd just like to get that in there.
Is that called a hole in one?
Yes, it's a hole in one. Yeah. It's a very tenuous relationship to golf clubs.
But it could be part of narcissistic personality disorder that you think it's interesting.
I think it's interesting. I don't think I'm ever going to get a chance to tell that anecdote in a golf club, so I had to get it off my chest.
Well, okay, last question, because we've only got 10 minutes. I'm sure we've exceeded it, but we deserve to, don't we, really? You'd all agree. Well, on that theme of survival, and obviously marriage is a part of survival, it's even possible to survive against all odds in marriage. But I must say, for me, this book is inspirational. It reflects much of my own marriage, probably much of your own marriages. And I find myself always reflecting on bits of it. But it concludes, if you haven't read it, with the ways to bolster and save your marriage. And I'll just read one of Mary's ways, which is, wear invisible wax earplugs while your partner is ranting on a familiar theme. You've heard it 1,000 times before. Well, that's quite sensible. But Giles, well, one of his is, if your parents didn't split up, then you've got a better chance of your own marriage surviving. That may be statistical, but it doesn't help a lot if your parents did. What can you do about it? What can you do about that, Giles? Anyway, the second one is, and I think this must be fairly personal, this is his second way of marriage becoming strong and stable. He thinks if he was found confused and sheltering in a storm drain in Mallorca, he knows that Mary would strain every sinew to locate him. I don't think that can apply to all of us, really. But what I'd like to ask is, you see, we're going to do the Desert Island Discs thing here. Of your 8 records or 8 recommendations, you've got all these people, quite a lot of them are probably married or thinking about marriage or have been married, etc. Just one word of advice for them before we leave on how to sustain their own wobbly marriages.
Lower your expectations.
And as my mother used to say, count to 10 before you fly off the handle.
The anecdote about the person in Mallorca was about John Noakes, by the way.
Yes.
And I think it might have been northern Spain that he was found in a storm drain. He might have had very strong identification with John Noakes. And as we're becoming more and more confused in old age, I could see myself being caught in a storm drain.
Was he one of the bootman robbers?
Yes, yes, he was, yes. And I think he's a UKIP member now.
Well, I think Annabelle's glaring at me. Yes, so that's it. And I think you'll be very foolish if you didn't take this opportunity to buy this wonderful book. I can thoroughly recommend it to you. Giles and Mary, what a pleasure. Thank you for coming.
For more about the Oldie magazine, Amber Lunches, go to theoldie.co.uk.